like we forgot something. You know, that's the slogan. I was about to tell you to fix your face because you had that. That's that I traveled today face.
I traveled today.
I know it. That's that I traveled.
It's good to see you, though, brother. It's always good to see you. Always give me juice. You always give me juice.
I got to.
Straight up.
Hey, look, listen. We're on episode 7 today of Swagoo and Perk. Episode 7, dog. Episode 7.
Seven of them.
We're going to start off today going back to episode 1 with I Told You So.
Okay.
So. And look, we ain't boasting, we ain't bragging, but we told you so, okay? You just got to deal with it. We told you so. And the I Told You So moment is about Zion Williamson. And we came on here and we tried to preach about his foot injury, about him having a whack body. And see, what people got to understand about whack bodies, we already broke it down to give you a slight description right now.
Done told y'all already, man. Go ahead, Perk.
You got to diet. You got to constantly watch what you eat. You try to get a six-pack, but you can never get that bottom row. So the most you'll ever get is a four-pack. But we're going to talk about Zion because I told you. I played down there in New Orleans. I want to get your thoughts first. And I know how them people is, baby. You want some of this fried catfish, baby. You want some. It's everything going down over there in New Orleans for us not helping Zion. With them already kind of being a dysfunctional organization. I'm going to give my point in a minute. But I just want to get your thoughts on what Zion is at along with the Pelicans. Along with the reports, now it was a report came out. I want to remind you that he fell asleep in film room, that he missed a workout.
I saw it.
I just need you to dive into what you're thinking and how you feeling. Come on, give it to
Perk,
me.
Perk. That's why I ain't about to kill New Orleans. All right, New Orleans had good food 1,000 years before Zion showed up there. They gonna have good food when his ass leave. Okay. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Here's the problem I have now, bro. What year is Zion in? This year, 3?
No. Yeah.
4? I mean, 3 or 4, one of them.
It's year 3. It's year 3.
Perk, it's beside the point, okay? I don't even give a damn about the years. Here's the thing, bro. This your livelihood, bro. Like, I'm get serious for a second because I saw people. I ain't into all of the fat shaming and all of that. I don't care about that. When you're fat, we call you fat. That's just what it is. Like, you're fat. I'm fat right now. I don't care. I know it. I acknowledge it.
No, we big bone.
We big bone. We thick. We thick. We're two C's. THICC. We thick. But here's my thing, Perk. And this is why, you know, I do have that traveling face today because – throughout your career, man, whether you get a chance, first of all, respect the fact that you made it to the NBA, bro. That's number one. Like you made it to the NBA, Zion Williams. You made it to the National Basketball Association. That's number one, okay? The day that happened was the day you should have started planning your career trajectory, all right? Because everything you need to be a great basketball player, you have. You have everything. And you're allowing something that I know is not overnight easy to fix. It's not as simple as saying I need to lose weight and go lose weight. But, brother, this is a plea because it's some anger filtered into this, Perk, is that these opportunities are fleeting, young G. Like, these opportunities don't come around. And I think because he's been so talented for so long, Perk, and everybody has told him how great he's been and how good he's been, and rightfully so. He's an animal when he's on the court, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, top tier, a guy that could change games. But somewhere along the line, Zion started enjoying the glitz and the glamour and forgot about the work.
Mm.
That's what this is. Like, we could sugarcoat it and say, oh, he young, he going to figure it out. He in New Orleans, that's hard to do. Somewhere along the line, bro, it's called professional sports. It entails being a professional.
Come on.
Bro, you got to dedicate your life to this for this little short window. And I know what people look at. Oh, man, look. Bro, sometimes dudes play 15, 20. Bro, that's a short window, bro. Short like, window. LeBron going in the year 17 and he 38, 39 years old. LeBron may be done playing basketball at 40. You know how much life you got to live after that?
You got a lot right? of life.
So and he's had a long, a extremely long career. So my thing to you, Zion, grab a hold of yourself. I'm sick of talking about who is his people, who is his team, who the people around him not telling him. And Perk, I get it. You need your guys. You need your lady. You need your family. Everybody needs to be encouraging. But everybody ain't got the talent to be in the NBA. And everybody don't understand the pressure that it takes in order to be elite in that game. And Zion, it's all at your fingertips, bro. If you don't want to be in New Orleans, cool. Deal with the business of that later. Right now, bro, you got to get to getting your body right. You got to get to putting it on the floor. You got to show up and be available, and then get your opportunity, if that's not the place you want to be, to go somewhere else and have a long career. Don't flame out, Zion. Don't let this, bro, the light that this dude came in with, leaving Duke, was on another level. And he's allowing, see, because Perk, you know what happens, and I'm about to pass the mic to you. Year after year, injury after injury, people forget. And they start moving on. And to your point, Perk, Ja Morant was the second pick. And from everything that I see, basketball is the most important thing in Ja Morant's life. And it looks that way. Take over, big fella, because this is super frustrating to me. I just had to say, I'm tired of people talking about Zion's environment. Zion, you are the environment, bro. You are responsible for this.
Yeah.
Go do your work, dog.
And you know what? Look, I don't disagree with you one bit. And matter of fact, you're 100% right about everything that you said. Zion, you have to be held accountable. You're a grown man. Yes, man. You're a grown
man. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying about how difficult it is. Like, we human, I understand it. But, bro, like, it's time to go, bro.
It's time to go. And look, here's the thing. It's a few parts that he has to correct in order for him to move it in the right direction that he needs to move in. Okay, so you got to clean up your house in order to start getting yourself together.
Yes, sir.
Meaning, I got to go tell mom, just be mom. Mom can't be manager. Mom can't be in charge of media and public relations or whatever the case may be. Dad can't be financial advisor. I need you to be dad. Now, I'm going to put something in your bank account. I'm going to get you straight, but I need to put somebody in place that's going to be able to tell me what I need to be doing. Now, when you look at the Pelicans, okay, the Pelicans, this is why all, see, you and I both were blessed to be drafted in a great organization.
No doubt.
People could hate on the Cowboys all
great
day.
Organization. Great organization. Yeah.
To help hate on the Celtics all they want. Great organization. And this is why I say organizations matter to where you get drafted at. Because going to the Pelicans, one, you got to have a different type of mindset because it's not your normal NBA type setting. And I say this with all due respect. I played.
Explain that to me, Perk. Okay. Explain that to me.
Let me explain it to you. Let me get close on to the TV. I mean, to the computer so you can really look at me. Listen, with all due respect to the people down there, they are great people as far as the fans. But the Pelicans are always going to be second to the Saints. And so I played down there. And from coming from Oklahoma City where you get first-class service, you know, you got everything in your practice facility. Going to the Pelicans, I saw how it feel to be almost the stepson in the family.
Mm. You know what
I mean? the odd man out. No, you may feel a little love, but at the end of the day, in the back of your head, you always going to be the odd man out. And that's
Louisiana, a football state, bro.
It's a football state. And the Pelicans, what, been down there for about, what, 10, 12 years now, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
About 15 years. Okay, but yeah. Here's the thing. So your focus got to be different. So it's like you're showing up, but you're not really having fun. And David Griffin got to have some type of accountability. I'm not saying that Griffin is not trying to do everything and not trying to hold Zion hand, but he got to have one of those heart-to-heart meetings with him and say, you know what? Hey, dog, listen. This is what's about to happen with you if you don't get X, Y, Z together.
Is he that guy, though, Perk?
You know what?
Is David Griffin that guy?
He is, man. I played with him. I played under him when I was with the Cavs. He was the general manager, and he always shot it straight with me. So no, I don't feel like his job security is there, so I don't know why wouldn't he shoot it straight with Zion. And I'm not saying he's not. All I'm saying is that people are saying Zion won out to New York. I'm watching Zion. I'm watching him make all this money already with the Jordan brand. I'm watching all this transpire right now. And then I see him on the Mountain Dew commercial. I'm like, man, you need to be on the Zarka commercial because you look thick as hell. You know what I mean? Mountain Dew. I know you're
water. Drink that water. Yeah, you're
refrigerated full of sodas. But it goes back to also, this is why I go back into the college days, and I'm going to be done with this. When the incident happened while he was at Duke and it came to surface, I believe, about a year and a half ago about him with some person and taking money and all this while he
was he had signed with somebody and
all this, right? Fighting a lawsuit and all that. I called out Coach K. And me and my brother, who I mess with, Jay Will, we had a whole argument on TV about me calling out Coach K. And I said, why I can't call out Coach K? Coach K was sitting on his sofa when he was trying to get him to go to Duke. 100%. So when he got to Duke, you mean to tell me he couldn't surround him around people and make sure that he was starting to have the right type of guidance and knowledge to make sure that he wasn't put in this position so that when he got to the league, he wouldn't be dealing with what he's dealing with? Now, look, Zion is his own man. But at that point in time, he was a young man in college at Duke with a lot of media attention, most LeBron James. So he needed some guidance. But I will say this. I'm going to end on this note. I'm with you. I got that plane ride face today because this is a serious matter.
It's serious, man.
He don't understand. And I'm just going to say it. Zion don't understand that in the next year and a half, 2 years, could define whether he's
critical
in the NBA or not.
It's critical. It's critical.
It's going to define whether or not he's in the NBA or not. The number one pick. I'm watching Jabari Parker, who's the number two pick. Jahlil Okafor, the number two pick. I'm watching them bounce around the league.
Well, We saw it with Greg Oden too.
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't even Greg Oden. At least he had professionalism.
No, I'm talking about the injuries, Perk. About the injury. But
it's different, Swaggu, because Zion. It's not just about his injury. It's about his lack of discipline.
Discipline, yeah.
Like, come on, bro. You can't beat 330.
You can't.
You can't beat 330.
Not in this game.
Nah, man, you tripping. So, you know, look, man, I hope he get his stuff together because I believe if he does get his stuff together, his future is bright. I hope that his people around him as well get his stuff together, Swaggu.
Yep.
And all we gonna do is say we told you so. But we
Perk, here's the thing. Here's the thing, man. And we're gonna move on because we got a lot to dive into today. Here's the thing for me when it comes to Zion and a lot of what you said. Personal accountability, bro. Like nobody else around. Your mama, your daddy, your cousins, your uncles, aunties, sisters, brothers. And I'm not casting aspersions on family members. They very valuable to what you can do professionally over the duration of your career. Mm-hmm. But they also can cost you some money. And they also can put you in a bad situation. And I'm not throwing that on Zion family. But what I will say is, something is broken and the people around him don't see it. And the fact that we've been professional athletes before, the number one trait, the number one thing accountability-wise you can show your organization or franchise is that you're going to be available.
Mm.
Like, that's the number one thing. When these people spend this money on you, what's his availability been like for his career? Zion is trending in a bad direction, fam.
He really is. He really is. Yeah. And look, while we talking about guys that need to get in shape, I want you to touch on, because I like when you dive into your basketball bag.
Yes, sir.
And I'm big on this. Luka Doncic. He came into this season, I believe, weighing over 260. 260. Now, mind I tell you, I think he just got about $200+ million extension, and he came into camp weighing in over 260. I know it's professionalism and all this, but I need to hear more about how you feel about Luka, because you got to understand. You got to understand. I need to remind you and remind the audience and the people that just a year ago, people were mentioning him with his age in the conversation with LeBron James and Magic Johnson. So I need to hear this. I need to hear, you know what I'm saying, about this Luka over 260. We need to talk.
Here's the thing, Perk. And I think, thank God for this podcast so we could clear some things up. Here's what I want to clear up about Luka.
Hey, hold on. You mentioned the word clear. I ain't gonna lie, dog. Them glasses clear as hell. I can't even front, man. You almost make me want to swaggoo. Hey, them bugs there, boy.
I got you.
I know you seeing clear through them.
I got you.
Hey, they look good.
I see into the future, big homie. I got you.
They look
with that gold trim around them.
Go ahead. I'm
gonna go ahead. Let's not not to get on ourselves too much. Let me get into this, bro. When it comes to Luka, here's the thing: we all know Luka's skill set, talent is similar to what we just talked about with Zion. Fortunately for Luka, he hasn't missed much time because of his weight issues, but his weight issues will cost him the opportunity to win a championship. Because here's the thing. Luka is the face of the Dallas Mavs. Luka is the best player for the Dallas Mavs. But I go back to what I said about Zion, bro. 7-game series in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals, you got to be rolling.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we know LeBron took care of himself, and we still saw him cramp up in some finals, in some conference finals series, when people putting pressure on you, right? Mm-hmm. So I get it. Luka during the regular season, he going to get his 30, he going to ball, he going to get his assists. When we talking about faces of the NBA, when we start getting into that conversation, when we start talking about dudes that we think could win multiple championships because of their talent, and it's about what the organization does around them, we don't want to talk about your ability to be available. We don't want to talk about you being in shape. Mm. We don't want to talk about you not possibly being able to finish a battle in a 7-game series that you need in order to win a championship, and their superstar is in great shape and still able to play at optimal, and you starting to fade towards the end of a series. Here's what we're talking about. So again, we're not talking about Luka Doncic and his ability. He's as elite as it comes as an offensive weapon, as a scorer, as a facilitator, as a guy that could create offense by himself and make other guys better around him. That's Luka Doncic. That's why we talk about him in the vein that we talk about him. But, Perk, I'm telling you right now, Giannis ain't going to get tired in the finals.
That boy's a machine.
LeBron ain't going to get tired in the finals.
No.
Well, as long as he's healthy, and I'm talking, and I'm even talking about age. When we look at them boys down there in Miami, Bam ain't gonna get tired. Mm-hmm. We saw Jimmy Butler go crazy while he was fatigued last year in the playoffs. Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, they ain't finna fade. Devin Booker not about to get tired. You notice the trend?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the faces of those teams, the faces of this league, and Luka Doncic is in the conversation with them guys.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that we think may fade if they have an opportunity to get to the point where they could win a championship because of his level of fit and his body.
Yeah.
And how, what that means for him during an 82-game year and also a playoff run.
Yeah, nah, you absolutely right. And I looked at his cheeks last year, and I seen his little fat face.
Thick.
So big, and I kept saying, man, look, it's two things that I want to talk about with Luka. It's two things. One thing that I need to tell Luka is this, and he's going to hear this clip, so I'm talking to him, okay? Hey, G told me, Luka has to win me over again. And I say that because KG told me you always can evaluate a guy after they get the bag.
100%.
That's how you evaluate a guy. Don't show me your first, second, and third year how you could play and then all of a sudden get 200 plus million and whatever else from Jordan and then come in the training camp weighing 260. So you got to show me. Trae Young ain't doing it. And I bring up Trae Young because y'all two, they always be connected because of the draft.
Because of the trade, yeah.
And everything else. Trae Young ain't doing it. Matter of fact, Trae Young balled. He look great right now, okay? The first thing. Second thing, go look at what Jokic did, man.
Change, yeah.
Nobody told Jokic to go do that. He manned the hell up and got in shape on his own. And I get it. Luka will probably never in life have a body like LeBron James, have a body like Giannis. But that don't mean you can't be in great shape, okay?
Be in great shape.
You could be in great shape. And 260, no, Luka, Luka really needs to be at about 230, 225, yeah. To be honest with you. So
he acknowledged to Perk that he got tired.
He acknowledged
that he didn't got tired at the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's – I don't want to hear the acknowledgement.
I know.
I don't want to hear the acknowledgement when you paying somebody $200+ million. That's just like we don't want to hear no excuses from Allen. We don't want to hear nothing from Patrick Mahomes. We don't want to hear nothing from nobody that got almost a quarter million.
100%. I'm with you.
I don't want to hear.
I'm with you. This podcast got to come just as hard when they start paying us that crazy money around here. We still got to be on it.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, look, since we already down there in the Dallas area, you know what I'm saying? We not go travel too far real quick, and we're going to stay right down there in the Dallas area. Now, listen, I need to hear some things, okay? Because I was quiet on social media Sunday the whole day.
I knew it.
But just because I was quiet doesn't mean I wasn't watching. And I was watching, and I was watching football. And we go dive into talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Great win. I'm not taking nothing.
Hold on. Cause see, this is what you be trying to do. You be trying to go at the Cowboys. And I'm not about to let you do it. I'm not finna let you do it because I need to know something from you. Wait. Cause I know you want to hear me talk about what the Cowboys look like. But wait a second. Okay? All right? You've been doing all this tweeting and all of that, damn it. And you made a statement about Steph Curry. So for you, get on my Cowboys, me about my Cowboys. I need to know what the hell you meant about Steph Curry and clutch or game seven. Can you explain what you meant, sir? Because we just said that Steph was the best player in the NBA. I need to gain some understanding.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sorry to get you off Dallas.
No, it's fine.
We're going to get there. But I need to know about this Steph Curry tweet.
It's perfectly fine. Let me ask you something. Did you have a problem with the tweet? Did you have a problem with the tweet? No, because it's okay if you did, because as brothers, we
I just didn't. No, I didn't have a problem with the tweet, because I know when you say something, you saying it because it's the truth. Okay? But I also know that you and I talked about how great Steph was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And I know this might not have nothing to do with your tweet. It probably don't. And I know you got some facts to back it up, because you a factual guy. But I still need to know why you felt the need to send that tweet in the middle of this MVP season we're talking about.
Well, here it is. For those out there that's not on Twitter, okay, and probably didn't see the tweet, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
I said, Steph got game seven drunk, okay? When everyone is anticipating a big moment, he never meets it. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to hear Doc's pregame speech. Best win of the season for the 76ers. Who needs Simmons when you got Thibodeau? Carry the hell on. Okay, so I'm going to break it down to you line by line.
Okay, all right.
To the idiots out there, because they have a lot of them.
Well, that's why we got this platform. Got the mic, they don't. Cry to your mama. I just want to know what happened.
The certain idiots, they got the check mark on the side.
I still want to hear.
Okay, so Steph got game seven syndrome, okay? And when I say that, one idiot thought, first of all, I was being sarcastic, okay? Mm-hmm. Because for the simple fact that everybody was tuned in, it was no college football on that day except for one game, Army and Navy. Everybody was tuned in to see if he could break the record, okay? But what he did was he looked hard. All right, so it's an ABC game, everybody looking forward to it. So when I say game seven, yes, I'm being a little extra.
Yeah. Okay?
But what I'm talking about here is that when it's really time, we got to think about it. Steph is a three-time champion. But one thing Steph don't have is a finals MVP. So the thing is that, and look, I get it. Two of those rings you had Kevin Durant, one of those times you did not. Okay? So when I think, I'm just thinking about the moments, right?
Yeah.
Those moments when he had the opportunity to rise to the occasion and step up and meet expectations, he just didn't, okay? Now,
it's film out there.
It's film out there.
It's film out there.
Yeah, and you know what? Shout out to Max Kellerman, because he's the first person that even brought this to my eyes about 2 years ago. For us with the finals MVPs and the numbers, because you know Max is a great dude. He's a stat guy. You know, he's a stat guy. Okay, cool. Then I said, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to hear Doc's pregame speech. Because I know Doc. I know Doc. And in Philly, at home, Doc
ain't breaking his record on us.
No, you got me messed up. I know that. I know how he rock. I was under the man for 8 years.
Yeah.
So when I hear Embiid after the game come out and say he wasn't getting that up in here, not in my house, that means they already had been talking about it. So my point was proven on that line, okay? And then I said, who needs Simmons when you got Thibodeau, okay? Thibodeau, you know. That Australian
lock. Australia, yeah.
Yeah, right. So check this out. That was a shot at whoever felt the need that thought that Philly was going to be 5-6 games below 500, and they right there in the
Simmons.
Right without Ben Simmons. So that was a mention. And then on top of that, did you see the defense that Thibodeau, I'm bad with some of these foreign names, and I'm getting better at it. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm getting better.
There you go.
Yeah, getting better. I'm getting better. Certain names, I'm still working.
I ain't got it yet. I ain't gonna say it. I ain't got it yet. I
ain't all the way turned over yet. But look. Hey, but listen. So that was my whole tweet to sum up the game, because I didn't tweet one time throughout that whole entire game.
Throughout the game.
Until the game was finished, and I put it all together. You good?
Hey, listen. Two things can be true, and you ain't lying. I mean, look, bro. You know when you see, you know when you send tweets out like that, people gonna get emotional. You know that. You know it. But ultimately, like, this is not about if Steph Curry can play basketball, all right? We all acknowledge Steph Curry is probably going to go down as one of the top 10 players to ever play the game, all right? His shooting ability elevates him to that, to potentially being a top 10 player of all time. He is the greatest shooter of all time. Bottom line is, Lord have mercy, do you know how they would have crucified our boy LBJ if he gave up a 3-1 lead in the finals? Do you know how much they would have killed him?
Hey, don't you do it, boy. Your DMs
and I'm going to stop.
Go ahead.
Stephen Curry is a three-time champion. Here's what I can't emphasize to people enough. It is not about Steph Curry being elite at basketball. This conversation ain't about that. This conversation is, y'all really don't keep the same energy for Steph that y'all keep for a lot of other players. Because if LeBron had these game sevens, because I still, every time I get in the argument, Perk, about LeBron, everybody bring up the Mavs series. It always come back. Like, LeBron, what about the Mavs series? He got guarded by Jason Terry, and he looked terrible. Here's the thing, Perk. Let LeBron would have lost a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors.
It would have been
hell freezing over, bro.
It would have.
So talk.
Let me tell you this.
I'm sick of it, man. I'm glad you said it. I'm sick of it. I love Steph. Steph, one of my favorite players. But let's not have a personal anger towards certain players that don't allow you to acknowledge when something happened in the same way.
Bro, look, and I know, but I gotta dive into this. One,
get into it. When
people tell you stuff about the Dallas Mavericks series, you tell them that LeBron James, over 50% of his career, he has been in the NBA Finals. That means he got a home there. He was
the common denominator, Perk.
Oh, yes, he has a house there, an address. Yeah. He could send you. Yeah. You could drop off a package. 50% of his career. That's going on year, I think, 19. So half of that, he's been in the finals. Let me say this. People, they got some dummies out there in the world. We call them, dumb dumb. Yeah, because look, the other day, right, I put out a tweet and I put out a clip, a video, and I was like, man, you know, when you look at Steph, man, everybody was watching, and you know, just he's the people's champ, and they don't know everything I do. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'm throwing the bait out there to see.
Don't tell them the secrets. We get it.
They just be falling.
They like buffaloes. One go off a cliff, all the rest of them following.
Right.
Just buffaloes.
Because what they don't understand is the point I was trying to get at, real talk, is I watched the Brody, Russell Westbrook, 2 years ago when he was chasing the record, or 3 years ago when he was chasing the Oscar Robert record. And I watched Steven Adams box out, and he was coming to get a few defensive rebounds. And they had so many haters were sitting up there saying, look at him padding his stats and trying to go back. And they was rewinding their TVs and putting it on social media to show, you know, and across the board. Before last game, before the Warriors played Philly, they played at home. Everybody was watching that game. Steph came out and shot, I believe, 12 to 14 threes in the first half. And we all knew that he was chasing the record.
Chasing the record, yeah.
Nobody said a word. Nobody criticized him. And I said, well, damn. I said, I be damn. I say, what was this same energy? I said, you know what? He's just the golden child. He's the golden child.
There you go. That's it, bro. And I'm
gonna be, like, he can't do no wrong. So I'm cool with him. And by the way,
man, when you say something that's true and it offend people, they emotional. All right, let's move on, bro.
And we want him to break the record.
Do we?
We do.
Hell yeah.
We do. So
I do. I want him to get more championships. Yeah. This ain't got nothing to do. It ain't got nothing to do with being personal with Steph. We both think Steph is one of the greatest basketball players ever. Steph, in reality, is not the guy that we see for majority of the season when they get the closeout games. That's the truth. It ain't got nothing to do with anything.
We gonna go. I gotta ask you about your Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm gonna be quick on this.
Yeah, they got a great win. I got a great team win. So you and Ryan Clark. Yaha, boy, hey, that number is number 11.
Parsons. Oh my God.
I don't even call him that. I call
11.
Him
double.
That number 11. That number 11. But we ain't
buddy.
Look, I'm telling you, man. Look, hey man, that man's a one man wrecking crew.
Buddy, we could do a whole podcast on Micah Parsons, the way he done played this season.
No, his name not Micah Parsons.
11. We could do a whole podcast on 11. No. If y'all don't know who the hell 11 is, get from under the rock.
Hey, but look, it's not 11 with a B. It's
Lem.
Yeah, it's that number 11. Yeah, there we go. Hey, so I go that number 11.
Lem.
But look.
Lem can get it.
We gotta talk about. I gotta hear what's up with Dak, dog.
I know, man.
Like Dak tripping right now, bro. And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm not even because I always told you the Cowboys hold a place in my heart.
Yeah,
tripping right now. I need to know what's going on with his with everything with his throwing. And I need to ask you, why is he not running the damn football no more?
Perk, everything I think with Dak is mental right now, bro. To your point. Him not taking off when we see in lanes where normally Dak would take off. And we got to remember, here's the thing, bro. And I love Dak Prescott. But here's the thing, too, bro. Because he played so well early in the season, we forgot that he came off almost a career-ending ankle injury. Okay. And we also know he dealt with having to be out because of another injury. This particular year with his calf. And, you know, I was asking Dan Orlovsky that question because I know quarterback psyche when something physical changes how they throw the ball or how they look at the game can matter, especially when Dak was playing at such a high level. Here's what I think it is, man. I think Dak is injured, okay? But I think it's an injury he can play through. But I think that injury is affecting his freedom to play. Mm. Bro, Dak is so inaccurate right now. That ain't nothing we ever attached to Dak Prescott. Right. So I can't if it's any either it's two things, Perk. Either Dak has absolutely regressed and became worse, or he dealing with something physically that won't allow him to be the guy that we saw earlier in this season. It's one of them two things. Now, I haven't called down there yet. I hate calling down there. I hate calling down there about injuries and what's going on with Dak. I just hate asking those questions. That's not who I want to be. But to that point, man, when you watch him play, even like a couple weeks ago, he coming off of a game. It should have been a game-winning drive against the Las Vegas Raiders. And then we saw him struggle against Kansas City. We saw him struggle against Denver coming off the injury. And we saw him struggle this week. And this is my concern, Perk. I'm going to leave this alone. Bro, you got to go through Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Kyler Murray to get to a Super Bowl. You cannot fall off Dak Prescott. Yeah. And right now, you are falling off. He is one of the big reasons his team is not having success, a lot of success right now.
But you know what? Let me say this, and I agree with everything that you're saying. But one thing I will say, I think Dak is – injured for real. And I do too, bro. And I'm not even making the excuse. I know the ankle injury coming back off of that. Sometimes people don't realize just because you're back doesn't mean you're close to 100%. I don't care what type of performance you put on, but I want to talk about that, me personally, that calf strain, dog, because people don't understand how delicate that really is. So when I'm watching him, like, looking and having those lanes
and won't take off,
I'm like, dog, that calf strain, you know, it's one wrong and you out for the, you, he's done for the rest of the
8 season. 8 weeks. If you tear that thing, it's 8 weeks, bro. It's
8 weeks. That's the season.
Straight up.
And, so, and we all know he can't afford to do that. So when I'm watching them stand in the pocket and I'm watching them kind of be, I'm kind of giving.
He don't have freedom of movement, bro.
I'm kind of giving Dak a pass, dog. Like,
look.
Me personally, I'm kind of giving him a pass. Like,
here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. I ain't giving them no pass. All right? I'm not. I ain't. Because if that's the case. If that's the case, then bro, you gotta start doing something differently, Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator. Dak gotta communicate that and say, man, we gotta start doing something different. We gotta figure out a way to protect this thing as much. I ain't giving them a pass. And you know why, too, Perk? And you know this about the NBA. The Green Bay Packers ain't gonna give him a pass. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers ain't going to give him a pass. No. The Arizona Cardinals ain't going to give him a pass. Whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs, they hope your calf is strained. They hope it, right? So Dak got to figure out a way to play high-level football with these injuries that he got going on, all right?
And you know what? You know what? I can't argue because Aaron Rodgers playing with a broken
toe. Brand with a broken toe, bro. Matt Stafford got ribs. That's everybody, bro. Tom Brady played on a torn MCL last year.
Yeah.
So I get it. Injuries matter, and they factor in. But this game, you got to find a way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let me move on to this part because I got to address this like the numbers on the house. I got you saying.
You can use it all you want, but I know if you got to address it. Big homie.
Urban Meyer, bro. Okay. What he do? What he didn't do.
Okay.
That's the damn question. What he didn't do is create a good environment in Jacksonville, Florida for the Jaguars. That's what he didn't do. Perk, I turned to the side like my grandma turned to the side when she used to get pissed off, all right? Here's the thing, bro, and I hate doing this, man, but let me get through this for the sake of time, man, because I know we trying to get to our food and our chill. Listen, Urban Meyer, let me go through the list first. Jacksonville, he hires a racist strength coach, okay? Brings in Tim Tebow to play a position he never played in football before and was close to making the team. obviously we know about the bar scene with this week it's been reported that he got in a fight with one of his wide receivers, a verbal shouting match with one of the wide receivers, Marvin Jones, and he said his assistants were terrible. In something in that regard, all right? And he said whoever leaked it, they'll be fired in 3 seconds. This Urban Meyer, all this has transpired in one. We ain't even done with the damn season yet. We got 4 weeks left, I think, in the NFL season. And all of this going on, Perk, and listen, I'm not that guy. I hate doing this, man, but sometimes it's relevant and it's prevalent to what we're talking about. You telling me Urban Meyer can have all this go on, and Jim Caldwell, an African-American coach that gave the Detroit Lions their last winning season, don't have a job? You telling me that Eric Bieniemy can't get hired as a head coach to see if he can be a successful head coach? And you allow, as an owner, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you've watched this play out, and you still are mum and won't say anything about Urban Meyer or this situation that's unfolding. You got the first overall draft pick in your quarterback asking his head coach through the media, why in the hell is one of our best players not playing in the game? All of this has transpired. So see, this is where it gets convoluted for me. Because if we don't have one, Lovie Smith went to a Super Bowl and got fired from the Chicago Bears.
He did.
The Arizona Cardinals had a African-American head coach, can't think of his name right now, fired after one bad season. All right? Jim Caldwell, well-respected African-American coach in this league, black coach in this league. Detroit, winning season. Matthew Stafford loved him, fired. They wanted to go another direction. They hired Matt Patricia, who was horrible. And now they got Dan Campbell over there with one Steve win Wilkes, on the season.
Steve Wilkes was
the coach that got fired from Arizona. We have a major problem when you look at this Urban Meyer situation.
Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. You got a great point. Because it's one thing to have losing seasons.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to create a toxic environment. Now, keep going.
And that's the point. That's the point, Perk. The point is, so you got an owner in the NFL that will look at this situation and not do anything about it, and we still got to fight and argue about black coaches getting hired in the NFL, and you allow this to happen? So it's more of an indictment on owners and ownership in the NFL than anything. Mm-hmm. In this particular situation, and Shad Khan is the Jacksonville Jaguars owner. I don't know if he's very hands-on, but, bro, your franchise is in turmoil because of your coach, the guy that you hired to be the head coach. And we sitting here trying to get black coaches hired.
So
at some point, watching this Urban Meyer thing transpire and spiral out of control, the question has to come, so what's the qualifications? What's the qualifications for being a head coach? Because now you have this sample size of it being absolutely wrong, and we still got to have a Rooney Rule, and the fact that we got to have a rule to force interviews for black coaches in the NFL as a quota, and this can run rampant in a franchise and nobody say nothing. The owner is mum. Urban Meyer still gonna coach. The players don't even like the dude, Perk. Let's boil it down to the most simplest thing. The dudes that you need to go out there and play for you to keep fans in the stands to win football games don't like the guy that you got to lead them. But he ain't saying nothing. So it's more Shad Khan because he got the responsibility of changing the situation. And we know who the hell Urban Meyer is. Believe people when they show you who they are. That's all I got, Perk.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just so proud of you. And I had to pick up my microphone.
I see you with that
I'm
mic.
And I'm happy that you did say something. One, because it's great content for our podcast. And I love it when you speak your goddamn mind. That's the first thing. Second of all, guess what? Guess whose voice do matter? Marcus Swaggoo yep. Spears.
Okay? Appreciate that, big homie. But it got to be said. It got to be said, Perk.
It matters. So you got to say it. You know why? Because people listen to Marcus Swaggoo Spears. Okay?
Respect.
Just like people listen to Big Perk. Just like people listen to Stephen A. Just like people listen to Jalen Rose. And what I'm saying this is because for the simple fact that we were dealing with the same situations in basketball, well, we wanted more former African-American athletes that played the game to get coaching jobs, that we just kept talking about it. Now, all of a sudden, this past summer, we set a record. Orlando High won. Got a good young coach.
Chauncey and Portland.
You know what I'm saying? It's the most right now, we're at an all-time high for us, most African-American coaches, head NBA coaches in the NBA. And so you got to speak on it. I need you to continue to voice out because you look, listen, here's the thing. You're not just speaking because You're not speaking just for the community. Bro, you speaking for all those players in there that don't like him.
Bro.
That don't have a voice. So when you come on here and say it, you got to say it again for them.
Hey, man, listen. The players in Jacksonville don't like their head coach. Their head coach has created a terrible environment. Shad Khan, change it.
Thank you.
Change it. Like, all right. Man. All right, so where we going, dog?
I'm telling you, I just.
Perk, yeah. It's just so frustrating, bro. It's so frustrating because you will watch this go on for a year and it will be excuse after excuse. It will be excuse after excuse. Hey, bro, let this would have been a black head coach in Jacksonville with all this going on. He'd be out of there. Anyway.
So, we back. Your boy back.
Bro.
Mike Strahan. He went to
he
space.
He made it back.
He went up and came back. Now, I'm just waiting. He back, though. He's back.
Strahan. He made it back. Why we thought on the old podcast it took 2 days, bro? It took like 8 minutes. It took like 8 minutes to get up there and get back.
Guess what? I don't want to be.
Perk, we had the man going to the moon. Perk, we was thinking about going to the moon.
You know we got. You know we gotta be extra, dog. Bro. Like it's on the right.
Perk, we ain't know a damn thing about space travel, and we on this mud land. We talking about, yeah, it's going to take about a day. We were serious. You were so serious, Perk. You was like, what it take about 24 hours? You telling me he going to be in a spaceship for 24 hours? Perk, we thought it was going to take a day. It was like 8 minutes.
Bro, because look. The one thing I learned in school was that when you go out of space, you're going to
you're
the
gone. Me you're too. Going to the
moon. Oh, I know. So what somebody said you're going out of space. In my mind, I said, man, this man going to the moon.
He's going to the moon.
I didn't know. I thought he was going boom, dog. That's the first thing that came to my mind. When you told me Michael Strahan was going out of space, I said, man, he's going to the moon.
Bro.
That's what I thought, dog. You didn't think that? That's why I
swear to God. I swear to God, bro. That's why I'm laughing so hard, bro. Because when they said out of space, I was like, he either going to the space station or he going to the moon.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you go out of space. That's why when they was like, he'll be back in like 8 minutes, I was like, damn, you can get to the moon in 8 minutes now? I might do that. Perk, I swear I was thinking it. I was like, shoot, if you go to the moon in 8 minutes, I might have to try that, bro. It's only a few people going to say they ever been to the moon.
Yeah.
But it's only a few people that are going to ever say they've been out of space. Bro, real quick, when Stray got up there, all right, when they got out of space, bro, and the little capsule, he was up there with some people. I didn't know all the people, but everybody was so excited. And Stray still had that scared black dude look. like I know we floating, but when this something going down?
Right.
When we going back? When we going back? He was trying to like laugh in the midst of being scared as hell.
Yeah.
I felt it. I felt it in his spirit, Perk. He was nervous up there, Perk. I'd be nervous too, though.
Yeah, I'm cool. That's a roller coaster. That's an 8 minute roller coaster to outer space.
Hey, I hope he show us some pictures because that's the only way I'm gonna see it.
I ain't trying to see it. Hey, look,
see it in real life.
Hey, Stray, we are glad you're back.
Glad you're back.
We thought you was going to the moon, dog.
Hey, Perk, like the old school used to say, I thought he was gonna be back 4 days in the morning. I thought he wasn't gonna get back till 4 days in the morning, man. Straight up. Four days in the morning. For everybody, that means before the next day in the morning. That's what that means. 4 days in the morning, man. Anyway. Perk, why we thought the man was going to the moon? They never said that. They just said they was going out of space.
No, because I keep telling you, when we heard about space, the only thing come to my mind, anytime I hear something about somebody going out of space, I automatically think they're going to the moon.
Perk, that's
I think
the funny.
When you go out of space, you going to the moon. It's just...
Bro, excuse my French, bro. This is the funniest you ever said to me, bro. I swear to God, because Perk, I'm telling you, people going to listen to this podcast, bro, and they going to think they was thinking the same thing.
The same thing, man.
That's amazing. All right, yeah. All right, hey, Perk. Look, all right. Hey,
Christmas. My favorite holiday is gone. Thanksgiving.
That's okay. Your favorite?
Yeah, dog, because it's all about eating and giving. It ain't about nothing else but family and being thankful, okay?
Yep.
Now, here we are. We 2 weeks away from Christmas.
Perk, bro. Don't make your face like that.
You understand? Christmas time stresses me the hell out, dog. I'm telling you, dog. I'm telling you, I don't want to get a haircut. It just stresses me. It just feel like, let's get through it, okay? So, I saw you also.
Hold on, Perk. Let me say this before you say this. This is going to fly over a lot of people's head. It's going to fly over a lot of people's head, and I mean no disrespect when I say it. Christmas way better when you broke. Go ahead. Go ahead, Perk. Go ahead.
Straight up, man. I ain't got it. Here's the thing. I know you running into a little hiccup, right? And I just need to hear about it. I just need to hear about it because I think I got a solution because I ran into the same hiccup and we both family men with kids and we talk about presents and gifts and all this. And I think your little big bro got a solution to your problem. But first, I need you to let us know what the problem is, okay? It's almost like going to when I went to anger management, okay?
Right off the top.
I had to go in. I had to admit that I had a problem. So I could help and get a solution to the problem. This is how we about to solve. Dr. Perk is about to solve his big
problem.
Come on, Perk. Come on, Perk. Give it to him.
Perk, I might be the worst gift giver in the history of Christmas, bro.
Why you say that?
Bro, listen, because I hate it so much. I hate shopping for things, bro.
Me too.
Me
too.
It's the worst thing you can do to me is to tell me, hey, it's about Christmas. We need to get some gifts. That's the worst. Those are the worst words I hear every year. We need to go get Christmas gifts. Bro, and thank God for my wife, bro, because she fire. But see the perk, the dilemma I run into, I don't be knowing what to get her, bro.
So, okay.
I need some help. I'm telling you, what's today? Today is the 13th of December, perk.
We 12 days away, dog.
I'm going to be in the mall on the 24th.
I'm
going to be in there trying to figure out what the hell is left. Well, that everybody ain't them bought already, so I can give my wife a nice Christmas.
Well, listen, I feel like you and sis got the same relationship as me and my wife, and we can talk things out. Okay,
so yeah, let's.
So me, I'm very tight with my money. Okay, I'm very tight with my money, and I don't like spending my money on something that I feel like somebody not gonna really like. Okay, and I don't like going to the mall. I don't like shopping. I don't even like going to get suits. I don't like getting suits. If I could, I would wear a white T-shirt on TV when I go on there. If I could, okay?
Every day.
It's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. So here it is. Let me tell you. With my kids, my two oldest, let me tell you what I do with them. Hey, listen. Give me a Christmas list. Both of y'all. They give me a Christmas list. Okay, give me the top three things that you want.
Mm.
Okay, these are the top three things. Okay, I'm going to get that. We good, right? Yeah, Dad, we straight. We cool. All right, cool. Now, my twins, 5 years old, that's easy work. You know what I'm saying, couple?
Easy. My 8-year-old, easy.
All you got to go do is go get them a lot of things that's big.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, for they could just rip. They want something big. You know what I'm saying? They don't even
can't do nothing with it. All they can do is look at it. They want it to be big.
Box that big box, my daddy. Yeah. Yeah, that's all you, baby. That's all you. That's how I am, right? Here it is with your wife. See, I'm not good at surprising, right? Mm-hmm. I never been. I'm not a surprising type of guy. I just never been. I don't hold secrets to surprise somebody. If something's going on, if you got a surprise birthday party for somebody, don't tell me.
Don't tell you.
Because I'm going to tell, dog.
You going to tell?
I'm going to tell. I'm not good with it. So Here's the thing. This is the thing that I have, and I think you can have with your wife, right? What I do is I tell her, look, before I go out there and buy something and go to the mall and have to ask people if I'm a retired defensive end or a retired nose guard, people asking me this now.
Like, that's what they ask you? Yeah. You think? Because you think.
I think they ask me, hey, what NFL team you play for? I'm like, oh, right? So that's what they ask me. So before I go out and I spend the money and I come back and get you a gift and you open it, pretend that you like it, just tell me what you want. You know what I'm saying? Just tell me. I'd rather you tell me what you want or what you want to go get, and let me just give you the money, because it don't really matter about you unwrapping the present. That's for the kids, baby. Look, this is what I need you to do. Tell me what you want. Okay, you want that? Here go the money. Go get it.
You go do it.
Yeah, this is my Christmas gift to you.
Perk, let me say this. You were supposed to like put me in the third possession. You worse than me. Perk, I can't take your advice. I can't take your advice on the gift for the wife. I can't. Because, bro, we got to give them something to unwrap under the tree. We can't just be like, here, go. We could do that today.
Bro, but think about this. So you want to go get a gift, okay? You want to go pick out a gift. Oh, you know what?
No, I don't want to pick no gift out.
Look.
I don't. Okay. But okay. I do it. I try to do it. I don't do it well. I try to do it because it's Christmas.
I got some advice for you. Get one of your wife's friends or one person that she's close to to pick her brain, and then you'll be able to figure it out.
Then I figure it out.
Because right.
That's great advice.
I was trying to save you a headache because you look like you're over there stressing about it. Perfect. Like I'm stressing about Christmas, period.
Hey man, we gonna sharpen each other. We gotta be better on Christmas. It's one day a year. We gotta do better our wives.
So look, this is what we gonna do. We gonna do a Santa swagoo, right? We gonna do a Santa swagoo, and we gonna get our listeners out there and our audience. Yep. To tweet at you what they think you should get, you know what I'm saying, Mrs. Spears, okay? What they think you should get, Mrs. Spears. So we go do a Santa swagoo and see. That's how we go end the show. That's how we go end.
Hey, y'all send them damn tweets because I need help and we are running out of time.
We're running out of time. Yeah, you got 2 weeks, but look.
Two weeks.
This here was a whole lot of seriousness.
This was called housekeeping. We had to do some housekeeping this week, big bro.
I like that. That's what this episode is called, housekeeping. We had to clean up some areas. Fabuloso. I don't know if you want to use Clorox wipes. Hell, I don't know if, you know.
Just make sure it smell good.
Yeah, they do.
Make sure it smell good.
But look, we gotta wrap this episode 7. Hey, look. You know what I want for Christmas from you?
What's that?
Since we're going to wrap on this, I need a pair of them glasses. And I swear, I promise. I promise you, I'm going to wear them on TV so precise, you're going to be like, so, boy, look at that one. Yeah. Look.
I got you, bro.
Yeah. So look.
Them things look like they in that jury store with the light on it, don't they? I know it. I got you.
So look.
That's been episode 7.
Love you, bro. That's episode 7. This one is called housekeeping. Remember, Santa swagoo. Tweet at him. He need help on what to get him. We out.
Love you, bro. Peace.